And welcome to a very special edition of the Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch, Zach, something pump. It's my, I got a special co-host today here in the Half Guarded Studios. That's one, Mr. West Destiny. How you doing, Mr. West?
I'm doing pretty well, and I understand you need ratings sometimes. Sometimes you have to bring in a fresh face to pick things up, and we're into the fall season, so this makes sense to me on a number of levels. And not to mention, we know Dan's got a criminal past, and I think it's reared its ugly head again.
Yeah, Dan, Dan left because I made some offensive comments about Trump, and if you know, Dan's a big Trump guy, so he's taking a week off to cool off, but he's pretty upset that I made fun of Trump's hair. He's a big Trump fan, so if you're listening, you know, Dan, you know, you don't get more right-wing than Dan Ford. But welcome, Wes. How are you doing to start off? How have you been in the past 2 weeks with your Huskies? Not looking so hot week one.
They did struggle week one. Rutgers, though, I felt like that was a bit of a trap game of sorts. Just going on the road, opening up the season, you never know what you're going to get. And I like the look of that Rutgers team, too. They weren't half bad. They're improved, if nothing else. But, hey, they got out of there healthy and with a victory, and since then it's been smooth sailing. So that's one of the bright spots in the sports world. But other than that, it's been a little rough. I'm not going to lie to you.
You know, speaking of rough, last weekend was probably our first really shitty college football weekend, I think, if that's fair to say. Just not the fun. I know there were some fun endings here and there, but like the Texas-USC game kind of sucked. And Florida-Tennessee obviously sucked until the very end. How would you feel? Like, this was our first really shitty week. Are we going to get past it this week, you think?
I sure hope so, because let me put it to you this way. I'm not much of a napper. I don't sleep that much in general, but I certainly don't during the day most of the time. Yeah, last week during Florida-Tennessee, I just said, I'm tired. I have to go lay down. And I thought it was going to be 20 minutes, and it turned into 2 hours. That's the type of week we dealt with last week. So I think it can only go up. But looking at the schedule, I don't know, man. I don't know how you feel. It's not, on paper, the prettiest thing in the world, but maybe you have different ideas.
I do. I look at it on paper. I circle this, and I go, if you were playing NCAA 12, you see the headlines the next day, they'd call this Upset Saturday. I'm looking through the schedule. I think we're going to get some big upsets here. We can kind of get into a bit, but like certain games I'm circling like Purdue, Michigan. I'm going to circle Vandy, Alabama. I'm circling Mississippi State, Georgia. These are the three games kind of interesting me the most.
Well, let me ask you about the Vanderbilt game. Is that just a feeling you've had watching Alabama in the past few weeks, or is it all based on Vanderbilt, their momentum, and the call out that occurred last week by whoever that was, the place?
A bit of that. It's the game being in Nashville makes it a big game. I think Bama wins, but I think Vandy's going to kind of keep it close. That's what I'm circling there. I mean, it's a big game. It's going to be on CBS, too. This is a big chance for Vandy to look really good. So
the national stage with Nestler and Gary. How do you feel about Big Brad thus far?
He's too good. That's been my issue. I need Gary to bring him down a little bit. You know, that's been kind of the issue so far with me and Nestler. Well, your voice is a little too polished for CBS and SEC football. You know?
Yeah, do you think as the season goes on, maybe he loosens up a little bit and we get to see the real Brad?
I think some of that maybe he'll start drinking. Maybe he'll add a twang to his accent. I'd like to hear Southern Brad Nestler.
Yeah, you never know. You pick it up if you're down there long enough, I guess. So we'll hope for that. But
howdy, y'all. This is Brad Nestler.
This is Brad Nestler of the CBS network. Something along those lines.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty fun. But I want to get in. We're going to talk about football and all that fun stuff probably in just a second, but I want to get to the big story from this week, Wes. And that story is the revelation that Kevin Durant uses fake accounts on Twitter to kind of boost himself up. Can you tell us a little bit more about this story?
From what I understand, he's done exactly what you said, created fake accounts to respond to Twitter trolls and criticism and what have you. And I don't know how I think about this. I admire the effort, if nothing else, but Kevin Durant proving to be a pretty sensitive guy once again. I mean, is this a positive in any way to you, or is this just another strike against Kevin Durant and his actions over the past 12 to 18 months, I suppose?
I just put up a headline here, looking at it. Kevin Durant's offseason reportedly has Warriors players officials bewildered. I don't think Kevin Durant's going to last on the Warriors next time. I think he'll be gone. Something weird's going to happen this year. You know, I'm not really sure if it's like maybe Curry taking the ball from him again in like crunch time or something weird. But if the Warriors don't win the championship this year, it's probably because of Kevin Durant being a weird guy. So that's something I'm circling to look out for as this NBA. You know, this NBA season has a lot of cool storylines kind of going in. That's the one I'm looking at might be the major one. That's what we're going to see in the season finale, if you will. Will be what the fuck happens with Kevin Durant.
Do you think Kevin Durant, when he commits whatever he commits, I always look at him as sort of a harmless guy, but do you think something more nefarious is going to occur? Might not be on the court necessarily, or do you think...
No, I think the issue with Kevin Durant's a big nerd. He's a very online person. We can see that from his interactions on Twitter through the years. It's going to be because he just pisses someone off like a nerd would do, because he's kind of an asshole. Like, I think he even made fun of Curry's shoes this summer. It's just not something you think you do, you know? Because that's your teammate's, you know, business, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense on a number of levels. The way I look at Kevin Durant is, I still think of Kevin Durant as the 19-year-old out of Texas, basically. And he's damn near 30 at this point. But it doesn't seem like much has really changed. I still think of the guy that had the online dating profile that we saw, I think he's pretty much the same dude from what we can tell. It doesn't seem to make, I don't know that there's a lot going on upstairs. That's the way I would put it with Kevin Durant.
You know, I think that's what kind of makes him charming, because, you know, when he admitted to the stuff on Twitter, you know, he admitted he did it. He didn't say it was an intern or it was hacked or anything. Some people like that. That's a charming move. To me, that's a dumb move. That's what an idiot does. A smart person always deflects and lies as much as possible.
Especially in his position. I agree with you. I also
You can say, you know what, my intern forgot to switch accounts. He was supposed to be promoting shoes. He did that. He's very passionate about me. He's my buddy's cousin. Yada, yada. You could have made up a good lie that makes you sound like a good person on top of that. He didn't. He took it on. That's charming to some people. To me, that's weird.
Yeah.
Always lying. You think Jordan wouldn't have lied in that situation? LeBron would have. You know?
Of course he would have. I mean, that's what he does best. I think that Durant, this whole time, Durant has played everything wrong, it seems like. And like you said, there is charm to honesty and a person being who they really are. But when he was criticized for joining the Warriors, which we both criticized to some degree, I still think he just should have come out and said, yeah, I'm trying to get a ring. The hell with what everybody says. And that probably would have solved problems going forward.
No, he could have been like, hey, I see Charles Barkley on TV, and I just, it bothers, you know, I don't want to be that.
Exactly.
Not insult. You can't insult Chuck, because everyone's insulting Chuck now, you know? So it's something, he could have just said something like that. People would have sympathized, go, oh, but Kevin Durant's kind of human. No, it's just kind of weird.
You know what the saddest part is about is usually when you're of that level, you're surrounded by, you can choose to surround yourself by people who might know how to handle these situations. I kind of think Kevin Durant is mostly alone most of the time, and I don't think he knows how to handle it. I think he's got his mom, and she's not going to do the right thing. I mean, she's crazy from what I've seen. So this is, we can
he's
see
not
some,
married, is he?
I don't believe so. I've seen him make some suggestive comments on Twitter towards some ladies, which is
the Scarlett Johansson tweet where he said he would drink her bathwater.
Sure.
That's some weird fetish stuff with Kevin Durant too that maybe hasn't been. That's a fetish I don't even know about, drinking a lady's bathwater.
Maybe
that's a DC thing. If you're a DC listener, shout us out. Let us know if that's something you're into. You know what? That is something. I could see that being a fetish in the nation's capital. Like, how many – like, Orrin Hatch definitely drinks prostitutes' bathwater.
Oh, yeah. That's a harmless fetish in the nation's capital.
That's like a Democrat fetish where, like, they don't want to offend anybody. So they just – like, these are probably Chuck Schumer definitely drinks. Bernie Sanders does too, but just to save money.
That's right. Don't waste resources, natural resources.
Can't waste the money on what? You know, I don't know. I can't do a good thing. But that would be it. Not even to help resources, Wes, but just to not waste more money on water. You know, we got to save the bathwater and drink. Maybe bowls it again, something fun like that. So, yeah, a lot of weird issues with Kevin Durant. I think coming from the swamp that is Washington, D.C., doesn't help that. I'm assuming he's from BC. I hope I don't have that wrong.
Yes, that's correct. Or somewhere thereabouts, because the rumor is, and maybe this is where you're headed, after his Warriors reign ended, maybe he goes back home. And that's when I think it really spirals out of control. Because then he's in his natural habitat, so to speak, and all hell breaks loose. We go from bathwater to transvestite. The list is endless.
Yeah, or something even weird, like maybe food-related incest, you know? Like I like a woman to bathe in grape jelly, then have my mom make me a PB&J sandwich.
Ooh.
Something, yeah. You know?
Yeah, that would
be a little incest, too, with Ted. You know, maybe him and Ted Cruz are into that.
the freaky stuff. With the mom around and good with all of it. Just a partner in crime.
I think, I'm not accusing Kevin Durant of incest, but I've never seen him say he's not. In the incest.
That's true. I mean, really, there's no if A then B equals C or whatever here. I mean, it's all fair game. And like you said, nobody associated with the Power Outer is accusing Kevin Durant of anything, but I think he's most definitely into incest is what I would guess.
Yeah. I don't know if that's even an accusation. It's just looking at facts, I'm a facts guy, you know? I'm looking at things presented in front of me. And I see nothing that says he isn't in bold letters.
Yeah. Well, you know? Same here. And we're not judging either way. I mean, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. It's all subjective in the end.
No, as long as the incest kind of stays to fantasy and, you know, not doing anything weird, that's fine. You know, as long as he's not having babies with his sister or taking advantage of children. Hey, all power to you, Durant.
Right. Yeah, no one's
being... And Ted Cruz.
No one's violated here. If people are consenting, that's... That's better than some of the alternatives, and maybe he's awake, as they say.
Yeah.
And that's the trend in the NBA these days.
Let's jump back because we had multiple woke references this week. We'll talk about Kyrie Irving in a second, but I don't know if you see where you know the Bulls brought back Doug Collins, who said he's a very woke individual, a 56-ish year old, what? Maybe even older, actually.
I think he's older than that at this point, but awake.
Yeah, woke as hell. So, you know, but the other one though, Kyrie Irving, he goes on First Take. I think he really hurt his brand there by doing that, because the dumbest thing Kyrie can do is like be in the spotlight, because he's clearly a giant idiot. We're talking about a guy who's a flat earther, which I kind of am a flat earther supporter kind of guy. I'm not myself, I don't believe in it, but I like people who challenge NASA and the big elites in science, big science,
sure,
if you will. But it seems like every time Kyrie gets in the spotlight, things get worse. And what's going to happen when his big movie comes out? You know, we have an Uncle Drew movie.
Oh, God. I don't know. That direction of that movie, suddenly, you know, before we think it's just a parody sort of film and all that, but it could take some twists and turns that we didn't imagine when it was first announced. And I haven't really read up on the development of it.
I'll say Kevin Durant wrote it, and it's got a lot of interesting family stuff in there. I'm just going to put it at that.
Oh, yeah. I would assume. It was destined to be weird because, like you said, every time Irving opens his mouth, and especially in sort of a long-form environment where it's not just – a 15-second answer or something along
those lines. An answer that he can't really be coached up to say and stop there. When it's a free-flowing exchange of ideas, the real Kyrie comes out, and he's way more interesting than the manufactured corporate Kyrie that we kind of know and love. But I'm not sure maybe people do love that, though. We are in, like, this weird post-Trump world. Maybe Kyrie gets more popular the dumber he looks on TV.
I think it depends on who you ask. I think you definitely have a point, because there are going to be certain people who don't pay attention to the fact that he's just kind of a rambling idiot, like you said, in a lot of cases, misusing words and all of that. Certain people are not concerned with that these days. And I think just his somewhat rebellious approach to science, as you say, or how to treat other people in a business environment, that's going to appeal to a lot of folks, because we are in the post-Trump world, and we are in a new frontier where nothing is set in stone.
I think that's the big thing now with the weird life in 2017 is everything like we thought was how things were supposed to be, that we kind of knew was bullshit. Now we know it's bullshit 100%. You know, like, I think Kyrie will get more popular with his dumb beliefs. I think the more he's on TV, the more jerseys you're going to see.
Yeah.
The more video games he's on the cover of. Kyrie's going to be... The best thing for Kyrie to me is to go out and speak. Because the old Kyrie was just some manufactured Nike thing. He was just, who cares? You know, I thought he was super overrated and kind of a product of a, you know, a media campaign. But now, way more interested in what Kyrie has to say. Especially after the Flat Earth thing last year. What else does this guy believe in, you know? What are his thoughts on the Middle East?
Foreign policy in general. Yeah. I would like to know. Definitely, I want to know what he thinks about an afterlife or lack thereof. Maybe I don't. Reincarnation could be on the docket for, as far as he's concerned. You're right. I think if nothing else, we're talking about Kyrie Irving in a different way, and that alone will probably equal dollars for him because, as you said, well, he's in 2K18 already, but. This is going to equal more odd endorsements from businesses coming out of the woodwork. So for every fan that he might lose, I think it'd be 3 to 5 that'll gain here, and a different type of fan too, who is willing to support him outside.
Maybe bring in, you know, this is part of my thing of why I think the NBA will take over. Maybe Kyrie leads the charge. He brings in the lost fan, you know, the guy in Kansas who's, you know, checking levels to make sure the earth really is flat. Maybe he starts following the NBA now.
That's
I don't think J.R. Smith's the only flat earther in the NBA. I think that's the dirty secret. Because a lot of these guys seem to think maybe the earth might be flat. Because Shaq kind of said it. He pretended like he was kidding when he got backlash, but you can tell Shaq really believes the earth is flat.
Yeah, and for every Shaq, I associate the flat earth movement with a younger crowd more than anything. And what's younger than the NBA at this point? The league's age. Median age is lower and lower year after year. We've got guys that are probably 17 years old playing in the league, and they've just forged documents along the way to get them there faster. So I'm with you. It'll bring in a different type of fan, as you said, somebody who doesn't even really like basketball all that much, but they want to watch what this Kyrie Irving does on the court.
Well, Wes, do you think that could lead to maybe the ball no longer being round in the NBA?
Oh, Jesus.
Flat ball.
Flat ball.
Because it's offensive to flat earthers to have a round ball.
You know, maybe you have me on this show and I fail to express how much of a privilege it is because a theory like that is really sort of a revolutionary thing, pardon the pun of sorts. I guess it wouldn't be revolutionary at all if this ball is flat. I'm going to be quiet.
Well, no,
on
I think
now.
Oh, I think it makes a lot. I mean, if you look at especially how the American, you know, middle class and working class is making less and less, soon they won't be able to afford pumps or balls with air in them. Maybe this is the way to go. The poorer we get, the more flat ball makes sense in the NBA. So kids at home can replicate their favorite stars, dunks.
Yeah, exactly. And it might change the game for the better. I think people are, you know, guys have ridiculous three-point ranges as well. It's almost too easy for some of these guys. So why not we make the ball flat, we change the hoop to like an insert sort of thing, like a slot machine type of thing.
Yeah, like a coin situation kind of going. You got to blink like a frisbee almost.
You beat me to it. We turn this into like a very athletic version of ultimate frisbee.
Yeah.
And guys are hitting bombs from 94 feet out. Maybe the court gets bigger. Maybe the court changes shape. I mean, this is tip of the iceberg stuff right now.
This is what the Big Three should have been, Wes. Because we were pretty hyped about the Big Three last year, and it was probably one of the more disappointing moments of my life, I think. When I saw the first Big Three game and realized it was like a taped TV show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't what I signed up for. I signed up for bad live sports.
Yeah, I was out when I read the spoilers the day before, and I wasn't aware that was the case, so that kind of that put a damper on things. But maybe they go into the next year if they're not sued or bankrupt or whatever the case may be, maybe they make some serious changes to the way the game is played. Who knows?
I think, you know what, Ice Cube, I know you're a listener. If you're listening, text me. Let's save the Big Three, and let's save basketball.
Yeah, we need options. So, exactly. I happen to know for a fact that Cube, amongst many others, listens to the show on a regular basis. So make the calls, man, and I'm sure Mitch here will charge you only a reasonable fee for his ideas.
No, just, you know, maybe just a signed hat and maybe like a dime bag or something. You know, I'll go easy.
Very thoughtful of you. Christmas is near, obviously, so yes. Spirit.
Let's jump now. Let's jump into football. Let's put our pads on. That's how, when I talk about football, I wear a helmet, I wear pads. Let's put those on. Let's jump into it. I want to talk NFL first, Wes.
Okay.
we saw a pretty interesting week two. Any thoughts kind of coming out of week two? Like anything that kind of grasped you? Maybe like a, especially like a big change from week one to two.
Oh. Well, I can tell you that locally, I don't have any big thoughts. I watch one of the least entertaining teams in the league right now and one of the least entertaining divisions in the league, probably for the rest of the year and beyond. Who would I say took a step? Well, I think we have to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and how bad they looked.
Or is the Denver's looking good again?
Combination is what I would say.
I think because like, it feels like Denver, maybe Trevor, the C-man himself, he might be the answer.
He might be the answer. Their defense is obviously very good. Yeah. So I just thought it was such a sharp contrast between the Cowboys of the week before or even the Cowboys of last year. But, you know, everybody's got to get blown out, and it's early in the year. So I think you're right. It's probably more of a testament to Denver once again being I don't know if they're the favorites in the West, but they compete with anybody. That's West.
Everyone in that division could possibly go 9-7. You know, we could see a team with a winning record get left out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
Probably be the Chargers, be my guess. But you know, if you put the Chargers, like, you know, over in the NFC West, they're probably right behind Seattle, if not neck and neck for that division. So
Yeah. Right now, I wouldn't disagree with you. I mean, I don't know. The team that right now, there's some bad-looking teams in the league, as always, but right now the real fall from a certain grace looks like the Cincinnati Bengals. It's just a disaster early on.
And Dalton looked awful on third. Like overthrowing guys. Like even though like the offensive line didn't necessarily look great, even when he had chances to make plays, he didn't make them. So I think Dalton's washed. He's a guy who's just as good as Matt Ryan, according to some people.
Yeah.
Like Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, well, this is more in line with what I kind of always thought of Andy Dalton. I guess I regarded him as a middle-of-the-pack sort of quarterback with some skills, but he was always way too inconsistent for me to get into, and now we're seeing the worst of him. So I would pose the question, do you go out and get a certain free agent quarterback and bring him in, or do you ride out the Andy Dalton ship for a few more weeks here and hope he gets hurt?
I think you really hope he gets hurt. I think he'll be even just shut it down, and then maybe you can get Lamar Jackson. I think they'll get, like, Josh Allen, though, because the Bengals are dumb.
Yeah,
exactly. But imagine Lamar Jackson throwing to A.J. Green and those guys. And, you know, I think the loss of Mohamed Sanu might be bigger than we thought it was for the Bengals.
Well,
especially when you look at how he's really stepped up for Atlanta the first 2 weeks.
Exactly what I was going to say. You'd know better than anybody what Mohamed Sanu can do for a team. He does seem like the type of player who, both physically and in terms of the way he approaches the game, he's a positive influence. And I think you're right. The Bengals can obviously use more of that type of player. So right now they're struggling to stay above water. We'll probably all just sort of stop paying attention to them for a little while. Like you said, they play the long game and pick somebody.
They'll go back to where the Bengals should have been, where we don't care about them at all.
Yeah,
where the Bengals belong.
The Bengals, we all know.
The category with, like, the Colts and, like, the Jaguars.
The Jags, of
course. Teams that, and let's jump to the Jags now. What's going on? I asked that because they look great week one, and maybe that was just Houston's offensive line being bad. Next week, play with Tennessee for about a half, and Tennessee just kills you at the end. I guess, are they still missing the special quarterback that's going to put them over the hop? Or have you seen a lot of Jacksonville? You've been lucky enough to be jacking off.
I was fortunate enough to watch that Texans game, and I saw a little bit of the Titans game. Actually, before the Titans pulled away, it was close when I was paying attention, and then all of a
lot of picks in that game. I think like each defense had like three series in a row where they got a turnover.
Yeah. Well, what's the thing about Jacksonville? I mean, they're always loaded up with athletes, but kind of. I always wonder about their identity in terms of a team, and I don't know if they've done something.
I mean, they're like this team that it's like, we're going to be a defensive, tough team. And then, like, they kind of are, but then, like, their offense just sucks so much, they never can be. You know?
Yeah.
I think we saw the few times the Jags were good was when they had a semi-competent quarterback and an excellent defense, you know? I think back to some of those David Garrard teams that made strong pushes in the playoffs at times. You go back to Mark Brunell. You know, former AFC Championship game participant, Mark Brunell.
I know him well. I do. Well, Let's say it is just a QB issue. Do you think that that QB is currently in the league right now, or are you talking about yet again?
I mean, you could probably. I mean, that offensive line has issues, but like if you put like Drew Brees on the Jaguars, they'd be much better than the Saints would be this year. Yeah, that's also another storyline I'm kind of circling. If the Saints just kind of bottom out, does Drew Brees go somewhere for 2 years? Does LA come a call?
Oh yeah, does
Goff
LA
doesn't
come?
look great or something, or maybe Rivers retires. Does Arizona come a calling? Because they love to get quarterbacks with 2 years left in the league. That's the storyline I'm kind of interested to watch as next season wraps up. But let's stay in the season. Let's jump to Sunday Night Football West, the game that you got to watch, I got to watch. What were kind of your thoughts about the beautiful the GoSee Stadium, if you will, in Atlanta?
I really like that stadium. I've liked it since I saw it the opening week of college football, and the NFL added its flair, obviously. I know you've been there live and discussed it many times, but it seems to be the preeminent stadium in the league. It doesn't have a
Yeah,
history,
it
but
took
it's
away
the.
from Dallas really quick.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I guess that Jerry World always will have its unique appeal, but in terms of just the sheer horsepower that a stadium has, I think this new Ben Stadium has everything that Dallas has and then some.
Well, I think the big thing, like that video ring, was really, just as a fan, I really enjoyed that.
That's what I was gonna say. All I needed to see was that video ring up top, like around the rim, if you will, and
No, and they have it, they put the footage and the highlights on there for you to see. And anywhere you sit in the stadium, you can kind of get a good picture, which you don't really get from a traditional, like big screen style screen. So I enjoyed the circular way things were. And I like the windows and the sunlight. Favorite thing about the stadium was it's roomy. A lot of room to walk around.
is
That's
that
important. You're
right?
not cramped in. I talked about how much I hated SunTrust Park on the show before. And it's because you felt just so cramped in. There's stuff everywhere. There are times at the Falcon Stadium where you're walking around, there's nothing on the walls. That's needed sometimes,
Yeah,
so you don't get too overwhelmed. I like that.
you do need your space. Just even for a few minutes, just to get away from people, take a breath, and get your wits about yourself. So that's good to hear. They seem to be doing it right on all fronts. You've got a very favorable menu. What did you eat at the stadium when you
I
went?
had waffle fries and a cheeseburger. I think it was like $5.
Oh man! See now you're talking because that runs you probably $13.50 at least at other stadiums.
You see, the weird thing, Wes, is my dad and his wife went to the game. Wife hated the cheeseburger, like said it made her feel sick. I don't buy that at all. I think she's just got a weak stomach. So those are two other reviews, but I trust a man who eats bad food a lot more than a healthy lady.
Yeah, it's not fair.
But let's jump. Let's look at the game now. The important thing: how excited were you as one of the bigger haters of Aaron Rodgers to kind of see some of the beatings he got, and to watch him complain multiple times about the refs screwing him over for once?
I mean that's what I bathe in. We talked about bathwater earlier. That's his proverbial tears and just some fantastic, clean but hard hits. Beasley alone is a man that I'm forever in debt to after what he was able to lay down on our least favorite quarterback in the league, probably actually of all time.
Yeah.
It's not stopped short, and it was beautiful. It's a well-lit place, so you got to see every nook and cranny of Aaron Rodgers as he laid on the ground and as he yelled. You could see the back of his throat and all of that, blistered and red as it always in from God knows what. So it really couldn't have gone much better. I mean, that game was pretty much over at a certain point. I did get a little, I don't know about you, got a little bit nervous at one
Little,
point.
a little nervous, but I remember texting my friend and just going, "We got this." I think it was just after week one against the Bears when they got the stop on fourth and goal. I was just like, "This isn't." I know they just blew the Super Bowl, and maybe I'm just being dumb, but I just have this feeling it's not what it used to be anymore. This team's actually pretty good and competent for once, and that's
Yeah.
not what I'm used to at all. But
It
I think for once we're gonna have a team that's pretty competent. So we'll see what happens. Now, obviously, the playoffs, things are totally different. Things change, but through the regular season, I don't think they're gonna have any dumb losses like before.
looks like they learned their lesson because, as you remarked in real time, they were running the ball when they needed to. Although there was a curious pass with like 8 minutes and 30 seconds left, but again, I was being overly cautious.
But
I
then,
knew.
but you know, and then you had a great pass to get you out a second and short with when you're trying to run down the clock. I really love that's a gutsy play call. It was just a slant to Julio, a 1-2-3 drop, quick throw to Julio. great play calling. Don't be afraid to throw it and use your best players when you're running down the clock. Because I think you can trust Matty to get the Julio on the slant.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. That call, just from an X's and O's standpoint, that call in that situation, I don't mind that at all. But when you have weapons like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's a sure thing, but it's pretty close. So, again, kudos to them. And when you talk about the entertaining teams in the NFL that are both entertaining and probably shoe-ins for the playoffs, barring some sort of tragedy or something like that, I mean, I think you put Atlanta at the top of any list. They look just as good as they did last year, and sometimes it takes a little heartbreak to get you to where you need to be.
Just to go, you know, or maybe just to break that Bills record, baby. 0-5.
Yeah, I mean, I have five
Super Bowls and a suicide.
I'm going to think positive about this Falcons team, and I'm going to assume that they can take it all the way because they'll have challengers, but there's still nobody that can hang with them in terms of firepower, in my opinion.
There is one challenger I do want to talk about. Kind of looking at their logo now. They didn't look so great in week two. They looked great week one. Now, week two could have been because Bradford's out. I'm talking about our team from last year, Wes. Our boys, the Minnesota Vikings. If Bradford can get healthy, is this a team that we think can kind of recapture what we thought looked really good last year, assuming injuries don't pile up on them again?
I always like to look at the dynamics when it comes to these things, the stuff that doesn't show up in the stat sheets or the headlines. And that's the point with Minnesota. Remember last year, everybody was kind of saying this Vikings team, you know, they've got it on both sides of the ball. The defense was heavily praised and there's a little pressure that comes with that sort of attention. So now the attention's off. Can we agree on that? I mean, I'm not saying they're being ignored, but you don't have the same sort of fanfare around Minnesota. It's more about the Vikings stadium.
Which is going to host the Super Bowl this year, I believe. They could be the first team to win the Super Bowl in their home stadium.
There you go. That works out perfectly. So maybe they sneak up on somebody. I mean, the defense looks solid again. The running game I like better, Dalvin Cook.
No, I like it a lot better with Cook. It looks like the guy, great receivers, because, I mean, you've got obviously Diggs, but you add the kid that was on the Patriots, Beaton or whatever.
Yeah.
You got a Treadwell there. You got your Kyle Rudolph at tight. So there are weapons there to make stuff happen. But this is a team that can play ball control and do all that stuff too. So there's something, that division's not that good. I mean, I guess the Lions have looked good so far, but who have the Lions played?
Yeah.
You know, I think we'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, we'll see when they play the Falcons.
I think Minnesota is the easy favorite there. And you're right. There's no gimmickry to it. There's nothing fancy about it. And I'm sure that they also learned lessons from last year. So, again, it kind of rides on what happens at the quarterback position. That won't make or break them because, like you said, they can play a certain style where they can win without a top quarterback, which they're kind of doing. But, you know, you get too far down the line and it will affect you.
They can't run into a situation where Sam Bradford has to win them the game.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the big issue with Minnesota. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Brad, you know, crazy stuff happens all the time in this league. I want to just look at the NFC East real quick with you, Wes. I'm looking at this division. Most teams are 1-1. We see the Giants at 0-2. This isn't quite the division I think we thought it was going to be. I thought the Eagles have looked okay. I mean, they kind of beat the Redskins on a fluke. I think the Chiefs kind of beat them fair and square last week, kind of proved that they were the better team. Redskins needed a late pick to beat the Rams. And then, you know, the Giants looked awful, and the Cowboys, they lose to Denver. This isn't quite the cream of the crop, I think, that it was advertised as. You know, is that fair to say?
I think it's fair. Unfortunately, I mean, last year, that was probably one of the better divisions in the league. And now there are a lot of question marks surrounding, I guess, everybody. I expect the Cowboys, as we alluded to earlier, expect them to probably emerge. But the Giants, it looks rough right now. Maybe it's an early season thing, and you just never know with the Giants.
Well, you saw what McAdoo did today. He did the old, I'm not calling plays anymore. Okay. That's how you send your life there. Yeah, hey, it's not my fault.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's not a good sign on September 20th. We've still got a long ways to go. So,
and I heard they were going to recommit to the run, but I think they need to commit to getting rid of Eli. How long does Eli last in New York now?
I don't know. His days have to be numbered. solid as he can be. I mean, it just seems like it's run its course, don't you think?
Well, he's not the point in his career where he can be good enough behind such a bad offensive line.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, you know, Peyton. Most quarterbacks have that issue. Tom Brady wouldn't look very good if that offensive line was crap, you know?
Yeah. You need a line. We agree on this. You just flat out, you need a line to be successful, and so any quarterback criticism has got to be, you have to take into account what you have in front of them, but you're right. Eli, of all people, is not going to be able to make it happen if they've got some deficiencies up front, which well, appears.
Especially with no run game on top of that, you know? I mean, how many years have they been trying this Shane Vereen, Paul Perkins bullshit combo? You know, it feels like for 10 years now. They've been using these set of running backs who just suck. They're clearly third-string guys on any other team. And the Giants, like, either just refuse to draft a running back or just pick someone new up. You know, how many guys have we seen come into the league in the past 3 years and be studs? And the Giants, you never hear the Giants name anything around them when it comes to draft time or free agency.
Yeah, for a team that is actually pretty good year in, year out, they have the most nameless backfield probably in all of the NFL.
And they kind of did when they won those Super Bowls, though, didn't they? Can't even remember who the running backs were. Of course, I always remember, you know, Tiki Barber and Ron Dayne, the greatest running back combo ever. But I cannot name the Giants running back in those Super Bowls.
I can't either. The only guy that I can even name outside of, like you said, Vereen and Perkins was David Wilson. He was fairly successful, and then his career got ended, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I forgot about David Wilson. That was like it's like they took one shot on a running back ever in the draft, and it didn't work. So he said, oh, well, let's just keep drafting tight ends.
Yeah. No shortage of tight ends. But you're right. They could definitely use an upgrade. Well, it seems like across the board on the offense.
Yeah, I think that the defense is pretty good. I still think the Giants need a white defensive back there. You know, like it's – how old are Jason Sehorn's kids now?
How old is Jason Sehorn for that?
Exactly. Timeless. Where is Jason? You thought that guy would have made it to Good Morning America. But maybe, I don't even remember. Is he a racist or something? I don't know.
Yeah. I was trying to wonder if he'd made it he'd pulled like a Riley Cooper or something.
He probably, but he would have come out in like that 03, 04 time where like you get banned for like being anti-war.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just right. Funny how like what the Dixie Chicks said, like ruined their career, and then like 7 years later, Ted Nugent's like, we're gonna hang the president, and then like no one bats an eye.
Yeah. Side note, how do you think the Dixie Chicks feel right now about all this? Like Jesus Christ, we barely said anything for crying out loud.
They gotta be pissed. But I think they just know that's what happens when you're women and you try to be successful. We can't let that happen, Wes. We can't let women have opinions and be successful.
Well, it doesn't work. I mean, it's been proven throughout history that when you put quote unquote them in charge, that's when things go south.
Well, you can't, and also when you're in that genre of that shitty pop country music, you just can't have opinions on anything. You know, like look at Taylor Swift.
You can't.
Clearly, she's a Republican, and a lot of her base would be cool if she doesn't mention anything. You know, she probably voted for Trump. You know.
Definitely.
That's canon on this podcast. Taylor Swift is the biggest Trump gal.
Without a doubt, you can take that to the bank. But when you look at Taylor Swift, I mean, when I look at Taylor Swift or I hear her voice, either in spoken form or repetitive songs, I think to myself, now, this is a person right here who does not deserve to have an opinion. That's the first thing that comes to mind. And so naturally, I think the Dixie Chicks, they're really ahead of their time in a lot of ways. Really trendsetters and trailblazers. And I think
now to like get in the kind of trouble they did, you have to like cut off the president's head in a photo shoot or something.
I was going
to
say.
Which is so weird that Kathy Griffin got like heed for that, because A, who cares about Kathy Griffin? But B, like how many metal bands have been doing that for like years, you know? Like Satan was like cutting off pictures of, you know, cutting off Bush's head and things, and I'm sure punk rock shows had Reagan's head on spikes all the time, you know?
Yep. So bands like Gwar and Marilyn Manson, they pull that stuff all the time. But you're right. I think Kathy Griffin's just it was just more about having to hear from Kathy Griffin again.
She's that's why like no one really rushed to defend her. It's like, the annoying girl from, what show was it? Was it Caroline in the City? Was that her show? Wasn't she on the show with David Spade?
Oh, yeah. Or like Norm or one of those. No, she wasn't.
Yeah, I forgot. Where did Kathy Griffin go? That might be a mystery for another day.
It's a whole different podcast, really, is what it is. You could tracking down the origins of that. That could be like a Bigfoot type of situation.
Yeah, well, that's my new spin-off podcast where I just talk about sitcoms for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Let's jump to something that actually might be more boring than breaking down Kathy Griffin's career for 4 hours. That's going to be this Thursday's game, Wes. The Rams travel to San Francisco. They are favored by 2.5. Who wins here?
Oh, 2.5 at San Francisco.
Tough to play in front of all 2,000 fans.
Man, can we just briefly talk about the attendance in L.A. or lack thereof?
California. I think maybe Oakland might be the only team that's doing okay.
Yeah, and they're moving those sons of bitches. Just get the hell out of the state in a couple of years here because we don't have time for this fan support and a good team. We need mediocre at best teams and 20,000 people in the stands, obviously.
Yeah, baby.
Well, I saw the 49ers firsthand last week for nearly 4 hours, and I will say that the defense is actually probably better than most people think, although they suffered some injuries, so maybe that goes out the window. But 2.5, San Francisco. You know what? I'm just going to flat out pick the 49ers to win it because I just don't know about the Rams. I'm not saying
I think the I think the Rams win on like a Tron field goal.
Like a,
that would be my guess.
Like a Torrey Holt last second sort of deal.
Maybe not as exciting. More like a field goal to win it 6-3.
Okay. I think given
I do think the Rams do look better. I mean, this is a team that's revamped their offensive line. They wouldn't get Goff some weapons. This Rams team, if Seattle doesn't make the playoffs, I'm circling the Rams as the team that probably.
Yeah, how win. How times have changed because
not for long. That's what they call it. The league, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. That amongst other things, but maybe you're right. What did you think of Goff out of high school? I wasn't tracking Jared Goff in high school like you were, but out of college. I thought he was a talented guy, but I didn't know if he was a number one overall.
I didn't honestly.
Guy.
I didn't know anything about him. Because where did he come from? Like Cal or something, right?
Plays out here on that coast that nobody gives a
shit
about.
Yeah, the coast, no one knows. And you just never know with Pac-12 players because they're soft. People forget that.
Yeah, they're soft.
Every Pac-12 player is soft, regardless of how good they look.
You just don't know if their athleticism will translate. Like you can score 45 in your sleep in a Pac-12 game.
Yeah, I mean, plus y'all play like what two-hand touch? Isn't tackling illegal at Berkeley?
Yeah, yeah.
For Cal games or something? Yeah.
It's a flag two-hand touch hybrid deal that we've got. No one's seen it yet because the games don't start until about midnight your time out there on the East Coast. So,
believe me. There's usually a riot going on. I want to jump to that. You see those clips from the Ole Miss visit with the Ole Miss fan vaping?
Dude, I mean, Ole Miss game. I did see that. I think we got out lucky with that being all that happened because that was circled on all our calendars as a potential.
I was pretty disappointed. I mean, I thought there'd be a protest or something. You're gonna protest Ben Shapiro, but you won't protest the Ole Miss fighting Klansmen. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, that's the lack of knowledge. I mean, that's how it is there. I think that when it comes to understanding who's coming to town, if they would have known, then yeah, it would be prime for a protest. But they don't care about sports. Let's be honest. Oh. Of all the things that they care about, sports is probably low on the list, along with hygiene and things of that nature.
All right, Wes, for this next game, we're going to head to jolly old London, mate. And we're going to have the Baltimore Ravens, yes they is, take on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, Jesus. Is it already that time of year?
It is. It is that time. I don't know if you saw this, or the Ravens tweeted a picture of the Queen Mother of England, in Ravens face paint, with like a red eye.
I saw that.
Yes. And they took it down. Whew. What are you going to offend the Queen? We fought a war to make fun of the Queen and King as much as we want to.
Yeah.
One of the homes of America, where the Francis Scott Key was from, where he wrote the national anthem, and you're going to be scared of the Queen? Ridiculous, Ravens. I got the Jaguars for that reason. David Kahn, a proud American, is going to get us the win here. But Baltimore favored by 3.5. I think that's this game will probably be decided by 3 points. That'd be my guess.
Well, London, once again, on the receiving end of one of our best matchups that we have here in American football, real football. And there's nothing more American than Jacksonville, Florida, as far as I'm concerned. It really
brings might be one of the more American towns, Wes. You know, you've got high levels of awful poverty. A few blocks away, you've got where your Wall Street, you know, some of your bankers live that make a lot. There's an army base over there. It's got everything America, yep. And a beach. When I think of America, I think of those four things. You know, rich yep. white people, poor black people, the army, and a beach. You
don't get yeah, and and drugs. I'm sure Jacksonville
yeah,
does
lots
share.
Of drugs. Yeah,
yeah. So.
And all some of the worst cab drivers in the nation. I had a cab driver when I was in Georgia, Florida, West in Jacksonville a few years ago that I thought was going to kill me. The way he ran like four red lights.
The question is, was this cab driver American?
He was white. Never. I'm always big fan of this. Don't let a white person drive you around or cut your hair. Stop.
Yeah.
Unless they're gay, then you let them. But it's got to be like a weird quirk in there, you know? Don't just let like a straight white guy do anything for you. Because as a white guy, we're the worst at this kind of shit. We're awful. We're good at like scamming people and like killing a bunch of people. And that's kind of there.
Throwing down, picking people off, etc. You're right, though, man. I mean, I shave my head and I don't even get that right somehow. So you have to have the X factor, whether it's sexual preference or might be missing a limb or something along those lines.
Something like that, you know, or maybe like a pedophile. I'm sure pedophiles make great cab drivers.
and
because they gotta be used to kind of driving inconspicuous, so you would think they would. So
yeah, you know, you could be onto something because I've always assumed that any male working at a Hair Masters or Supercuts is either gay or a pedophile. So
yeah, like I recently went to my local, I believe my local Great Clips, and almost had a older white guy in a newsie style hat cut my hair. But luckily, it was a nice Korean lady instead. So I really love that.
Yeah, that's an easy mistake to make.
Yeah, like as she shaved away my beard, she go, "Oh, you're handsome." And I was like, "Thank you." Like, I try not to tell anybody.
Well, the secret's out at least with at least amongst her.
I don't know if you saw the picture of me from a couple of weeks ago, or kind of like Bray Wyatt from the.
I did
from the WWE. Yeah,
you were wearing a.
I'm wearing it now, actually, a Panama City tank top that's two sizes too small that has marijuana leaves in the background.
I was going to say.
American flag swimsuit and an American flag cowboy hat.
Yeah, you were American as all hell in that photo. That's what
I went crazy at the gas station.
Yeah. Again, another fine American tradition, picking up some apparel at the gas station.
When actually my dad's wife saw me walking over to meet him at the beach. She goes, "Who is that guy?" And then, like, realized who it was.
God, what an animal. We need to get the hell out of here before that guy comes in. Oh,
I've never been prouder. Let's jump now. Jump to another game, a game I'm circling, more because I'm a fan, but I think if you're a non-fan, you might want to watch this one at 1 o'clock on Fox. That's the Falcons going to Detroit in a battle of 2-0 teams here. This is a low-key first kind of big game, if you will.
At Ford Field, another full-on American city, as we know, with a potential leader in Kid Rock down the road.
Future Senator
I know
Rock.
That. Yeah, God, as we all suspected would happen back.
I think the left should run Eminem against Kid Rock. I think Eminem would beat Kid Rock in an election.
I have no doubt in my mind. Could you imagine though the quote unquote debates that could possibly occur? Oh, geez, yeah. Good grief. We're talking about the best and the worst, depending on your perspective of debates. That's far more entertaining than what we usually see, so I'm all for it. But
yeah. I'd be more for like Detroit's seeing like some Atlanta music versus Detroit music, you know? Like Atlanta was at one point called the new Motown in the Welcome to Atlanta remix by Jermaine Dupri.
Dating back. God, we're really going back to 1999 or so.
Yeah. But I am interested in this game, though, because we got the battle of two white guys named Matt at quarterback. Both teams have pretty solid receiving cores. Both teams have pretty damn good defenses. I think this will be a fun game.
Probably high scoring. I mean, I would expect this to be a high octane affair.
It's either going to be like both teams in the 30s or like 7-3 in a really dumb game. That's how the NFL works.
It is. What you don't expect occurs, and your hopes and dreams are dashed. But Atlanta's too good for this Detroit team. So I don't know how much Atlanta's favored by, but I'll
Atlanta -3.
Yeah, I'll take Atlanta outright. I'll take them by 10.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in this Detroit team. We're gonna see how good they are right away, I think.
Good litmus test. Yeah.
I don't pick Falcons games.
I understand.
Let's jump to that's kind of it for the fun matchups this week, except this one, Wes. Sunday night, Oakland travels to Washington. Oakland, 3-point favorite. Give me Washington here. I think the Redskins win this one. Oakland's defense didn't look so hot against the Jets at times. The Jets had some success passing. Kirk Cousins is certainly better than whoever the Jets quarterback. Who is the Jets quarterback? Cade McNown? I'm not sure. Cousins is definitely better. I think the Redskins win this one and make a statement.
Yeah, that's interesting. As far as the Jets go, I mean, whenever I don't know the quarterback, I go on the McCown.
You just say McCown.
McNown. I get into that region and just start throwing out words and hopefully.
Meyer, start with M. If there's a shitty quarterback, his last name usually starts with M.
That's a good point. Definitely.
Except Joe Montana, which probably proves some exception to the rule.
Perhaps. We need to look at his career through the 2017 lens, though, and see if he was actually that good at all.
He probably was. It's like that old thing where you're like, Deion Sanders would have gotten burned by everybody.
Exactly. I've never felt strongly about any of those players in the modern game. Your Terry Bradshaws or, Jim Brown. I'm picking the Raiders. I have to believe playing the Jets is just not an inspiring thing to do, and thus they probably let up a little bit. I think it'll be close because it's in Washington at Grand FedEx Field there or whatever the hell it's called, but I'll take the Raiders by 6.
And a Sunday night game, so one to be pretty hyped about. I want to mention this to you before we jump to college real quick. I've been watching a little NFL Network recently. Do you think this crop of talent, of old players coming into like the NFL Network and ESPN now, I just get this feeling that they understand the game of football so much better than these guys we see like on Fox or CBS right now. I know it's a shocker that maybe Steve Smith gets football better than like Merrill Hodge.
You mean to tell me that you think that somehow Tony Romo is a better analyst than Trent Dilfer was? I mean, that's nonsense.
Maybe Tony Romo a little bit better than Jaws. Or maybe Kurt Warner kind of understands. But is it something maybe you've noticed where it seems like maybe we're just getting better players coming into TV now? It's not just a thing for a washed-up guy? Or do you think
that's
this generation of players is just gets football so much better because of everything all the advantages they have, where it was learning the game from Madden or watching film on their iPad and just the convenience of being a better football
player? I think it's both. I think you have players that are not that far removed from the game, so as you're kind of alluding to, they understand the modern game and it's fresh in their head still. But you're right, it's the cool thing to do now. That guys like Ray Lewis and Steve Smith immediately jump into the broadcast booth, whereas in the past it's guys like Steve Berline, Kelly Stauffer, former quarterbacks usually that did nothing at all.
Like Matt Millen.
Matt Millen, perfect example. So They're going to be better. I mean, there's a learning curve involved, but these guys seem ready almost from day one because I think they go in and they practice their craft like they did with their games in the offseason. And so a guy like Tony Romo shows up, he's pretty much ready to go out of the gate. So
how about Maurice Jones-Drew, kind of my sleeper for best analyst, or kind of guy on NFL Network now?
Well, yeah.
When everyone laughed at him when he said Andy Reid's a better coach than Belichick, but he explained it. He goes, when Andy Reid has 6 months to prepare for, he's better than anybody.
Yeah,
I was like, I buy that. You took a dumb hot take that on ESPN you probably wouldn't have time to explain. You explained it here, and I thought you made a lot of sense. Plus, Maurice Jones-Drew has been, I think he's been doing like radio shows and stuff, even when he was playing.
Yes, podcasts as well and things like that for several years now. He's got a sense of humor. That's the other thing. A lot of these younger players, they seem to understand. They have a lighter side to them, and they understand how that's appealing to a viewer as opposed to Bill Cowher or someone along those lines.
Yeah. It's just dry.
Sims, Boomer Esiason. It's just not, they're not bad guys. Well, I should take that back in some cases, but it is dry. It's just very vanilla in more ways than one. And I think the new crop, I mean, look at the ESPN Sunday morning group. I haven't even watched them yet, but
I haven't watched that. Who's even on there now?
I mean, we replaced Chris Berman with Sam Ponder. You want to talk about a 180 in so many different ways, but
oddly enough, not in the chest region.
Or the trunk as well. I mean, we're Berman's a tough guy to... But no, it's Sam Ponder. You got your Randy Moss, your Charles Woodson. I think Matt Hasselbeck's your lone exception to what
left
we just
over.
About. Oh. Yeah, but and then I don't know who the last person is, but that's a younger.
But we've also the flip side though. They also do have Rex Ryan, who allegedly practiced for that game. Like, they did several simulation games.
Yeah, I feel... I don't know how you feel about Beth Mullins, but I've never had a problem with her one way or the other.
I always get her confused with Pam Warda, because don't both do college football?
They do, and it's not just because they're... Well, it's partially because they're women, but
they're women, but the other, they also have the same kind of, like, the... I'm trying to sound deeper voice, you know?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Their voices are pretty much the same. So I was like, oh, it's 1st and 12, very deliberate and everything. And it's an easy mistake to make, but putting either one of them with Rex, I feel sorry for all involved, including Sergio Dipp, the sideline guy. I mean,
I think they need to bring Sergio Dipp back.
I do too.
It should be this. I don't know what Monday Night Football just doesn't have a dumb sign. Who can't? The games are awful. Give me something.
Yeah, that was ironically kind of one of the more entertaining Monday night games there's been in a while because there was something outside of the game to look forward to. You need that these days.
You know, Wes, I look back at last – was there even a good Monday night game last year?
Not that I can recall.
I can't remember one at all.
No.
I can't remember like a field goal to win the game or a dumb ref call like in Packers-Seahawks so many years ago. Yeah, Monday – has anything taken a worse turn in terms of like kind of sports TV than Monday Night Football in the past, say, 10 years?
I think it's tough to, other than maybe baseball tonight on Sunday Night Baseball sort of fading away. It's still there, but.
But it's not bad necessarily, like Monday Night. Well, I don't watch Sunday Night Baseball.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, though. Sunday Night Baseball is not bad at all, actually. It's just not what it once was in terms of public perception. But the actual quality of Monday Night Football has gone down as well. So now that Sunday Night Football has basically become the new Monday Night Football.
Well, remember, Wes, you're a bit older. Was ESPN the Sunday Night Football? Was it as bad as Monday Night Football is now? I was like a kid, so I don't know. I was just happy to watch football. But
yeah, well, I kind of was too because yeah, let's just go way back in time and go to my childhood when, man, you were only getting 2 or 3 games a week, so any football was good football.
Yeah.
And I looked forward to whatever they had on Sunday night, and it.
But what I don't remember if the quality was that bad like it is on Monday night now. Because Monday Night Football used to be awesome when it was on ABC, you know? And you had Dennis Miller making dumb jokes about like, the Ayatollah that went over everyone's head because it's dumb.
Yeah, well, the storied history of Monday Night Football, I'm sure books have been written on it, but
TNT
now
movies.
Yeah, exactly, starring God knows who. I mean,
who played Howard? I got to look that up. Go.
Howard Cosell, yeah, look it up while I'm rambling on. But your point is well taken that the quality of Sunday Night Football in the past was great. It was another good game to watch as opposed to Monday Night Football now is, sad to say, it's kind of a skippable affair, I think, unless your team's involved or they happen to hit on it.
John Turturro.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Played Howard Cosell, yeah, from I think the Transformers franchise and that HBO show. And Monk.
Yeah.
The hit USA show.
I'm pretty sure he's shown up on like a CSI 2 or something along those lines. So, but who hasn't? So.
Also in Brother War Art Thou might be where.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I just don't know. It seems like ever since that switch, when Monday Night Football left ESPN, Sunday Night Football went to NBC, that might be when the NFL had its real downfall, Wes. Now that might be, maybe that and Thursday Night Games would be the jump the shark moment.
Yeah, we may point to that and say that's where the saturation of NFL games it reached its boiling over point, and we're just inundated with NFL games, and it's not like the NBA, it's not like Major League Baseball. These are just there's so much energy that has to go into watching a football game that I think a lot of us are just picking and choosing our spots, or we're going the logical route now on Sundays, and we're choosing Red Zone if we have the
Red
chance
Zone.
To do so.
Red Zone was probably the one thing that's really helped the NFL kind of extend its lifespan here as the number one sport, I think. Dan may disagree with me. I still think the NBA should do something like Red Zone. Could probably make that work.
I think so, definitely.
Remember the old ESPN NBA Tonight would kind of be something where they'd cut into games and all that stuff. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Maybe
I agree with you because there's no way to pay attention. A lot of nights in the NBA, what if you have 8 games being played?
Yeah.
You can only choose one. So if you just do, like you said, a cut-in sort of thing, like they sometimes still do on NBA TV, I think, cut into games here and there.
Yeah.
Just go around the horn. I agree. Don't charge extra for it. Just put it on NBA TV. There's nothing great going on.
Yeah, you're already charging extra for NBA TV. Why not? Plus, it's like, hey, this game may be boring, but you know, Zach Randolph's going for a triple-double. Let's tune in there and see if he... You know, there's all these like storylines.
There is, and you would give the fans a look at a team other than your Cleveland's, Golden State, or the national teams, quote unquote.
Yeah, well, think about when Trevor Booker for the Suns scored 70 points last season. How many people get to see that?
Oh yeah, Devin Booker. Yeah.
You throw it on NBA, let's call it front court TV, bam, everyone just saw it. You know.
That's right. The only way you knew about it in real time was if you're a Twitter user or something along those lines, and you happen to be tracking it. But most people woke up to that the next day, I think. And you're right. Cut in on something like that because that's historic.
Yeah. I think, you know, this is another great idea we've had that we need to go market to the NBA. Let's turn our attention, Wes, to the guys who don't get paid. That's our boys in college football. And let's start... Let's start with the Friday night game, kind of in your backyard, the whole West Coast. Utah Utes travel to Arizona. Utah's a 3-point favorite. I love this one right here. I think Utah wins by a touchdown.
It looks like a good game. Not that we would have predicted either, because Arizona was, if listeners recall our Pac-12 preview, I don't think anybody was too high on the Arizona Wildcats.
I think we talked about it. We just made fun of Arizona's fan base the whole time.
We pretty much did, but they've been throwing – they did lose to Houston, but they've been throwing blowouts on teams outside of the Houston Cougars.
Yeah.
And so this game is in Arizona. Utah, a team that I'm high on, is a solid team year in and year out. I like this one to be – I mean, this one is one you would tune in for if you're on the East Coast – if it didn't start at 10:30,
on a Friday, so you know what? If you can, this is one you watch at the bar.
Catch it at the bar, exactly.
Or you catch it on your way home from dinner with the family, whatever you're into. From game night at the in-laws, just whatever you're into.
Yeah.
To do on a Friday night.
Book club meeting, the case may be.
Strangling a prostitute behind the Topgolf dumpster.
Yeah.
You know, just whatever you're into. Whatever you do on a Friday.
We don't judge. Yeah. You're at the Power
Jason. Hour. Chasing a roadrunner across the desert and then falling off a cliff accidentally, even though he never falls.
Yeah.
Whatever you're into.
Yes, sir. And it's probably going to be going still, no matter what you're doing by the time you get home. I mean, these games, it's a 4-hour affair on a consistent basis now. And in the Pac-12, where it's run and gun, that clock stops a lot. So you'll probably catch the entire fourth quarter, regardless if you're sober or not. And I don't know what the spread is on this, but I imagine it's probably pretty close.
It's a 3-point game.
Yeah.
Utah favored by 3.
Give me Utah, but a close game. And I could see Arizona pulling. If Arizona, this would be a nice win for the Rich Rod era if Arizona can pull this off. You know, he needs these sorts of wins year after year because they just don't come along that often anymore.
Here's what I'm circling. The biggest rivalry in sports. Duke football travels to play UNC football. UNC plus 2.5. This is maybe more of a game for people like Dan to be interested in. People in North Carolina, docile, sterile people will really enjoy this.
Sterile people, racists. What are some of the other things that we associate?
Hippies.
Hippies.
North Carolina now.
Yeah, right.
Meth.
Drug users.
You know what? Trans people, apparently. They all live in North Carolina.
Credit debt people, massive credit debt. Let's think of some
hurricane victims.
Hurricane victims, earthquake victims, people who don't pay their bills on time. I think we're pretty much summing up the type of person who would actually be interested in this game.
Yeah, people who flake out on podcasts because they're busy at work.
Yeah. Child abusers, those sorts of people.
Mass murderers.
Yeah. traffickers of all sorts.
Obviously, I don't really care. But it's just interesting, though, that we have a rivalry in basketball that's so big. And then, like, you jump to football, and it's like they don't really care about each other.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's not a rivalry that just goes through everything. Because, like, even when, like, Georgia Tech plays Georgia in baseball, you know, Georgia fans and Tech fans kind of get hyped up for that game. I don't think either of these fan bases really care about this one.
Yeah, well, they're too intoxicated or what have you to care most of the time. They probably don't know the game is going on. I mean, I would imagine certain people that we know.
It's just on the background at rehab for most of the North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, this is what he puts on in the room. Like, if you're good, he's got the trafficking victims in the basement. If you're good, I'll put the TV on for you while I go get something to eat. And then he leaves and
it puts the lotion on its skin or else it has to wash UNC.
Yeah. He drops the basket down the well, and not only does it have lotion,
the wash ESPN tablet.
It does, exactly. And the only thing that you can watch is Duke in North Carolina, and it's torturous. It hurts to talk about, quite frankly.
This one doesn't hurt to talk about. I'm super interested in this one here. TCU goes to play Oklahoma State. TCU, 11.5-point underdog. I think TCU is going to keep this one close. I like Oklahoma State a lot as a team. TCU looked pretty good playing Arkansas. It's the team that's probably pretty decent.
Closer than 11.5, I would think. I like Oklahoma State, too. I don't know that I like them more than Oklahoma, but I'm not sure on Oklahoma. If you expected the bottom to drop out on either team, it sounds like you might lean towards the Sooners having some issues.
I'm going to lean more. I don't think the bottom drops out on either because that division's, that whole conference is
awful. That's true.
Except for two teams.
Yeah.
I still vote Oklahoma as a playoff team. You know, I didn't at the beginning of the year, but I do now. After some injuries where I'm allowed to revise it by law.
Yes.
I do have them in the playoff. I have them as probably my number two team in the nation right now. You go into Ohio State and you just kick their ass. It wasn't for Bama looking like just dominant in their first couple of games, you know.
Yeah. So I would think
probably have them number one.
I would think the top three for most would probably be Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma right now.
Yeah.
And as far as Oklahoma goes, do you think we're looking at the Heisman-winning quarterback, Baker Mayfield?
Baker Mayfield should have won the Heisman last year. I mean, Lamar Jackson was really good, but Baker Mayfield is the guy.
Yeah.
It's the best college quarterback in the nation.
Good clarification there, by the way. That was spot on. The best college QB in the nation. Talent.
Not a guy who should play the wide receiver.
Right. Well, yeah, it's funny how that talk hasn't surrounded Baker Mayfield yet, but it surrounds Lamar Jackson. I don't know why that is, but
Most do move around. That's weird. You know, they never want to move Tebow to another position either most of the time.
We should ask Dan. He probably knows. He probably knows why. I bet Dan wants to move Lamar Jackson to kicker.
Let's jump to the first of my three upsets. I've got three upsets in the spread this week that I like a lot. Let's jump to my first one. USC travels to Cal. USC's favored by 17. Cal's going to keep that close. USC's not good enough. They don't have the right head to, I think, beat a team by three touchdowns.
Well, we've seen USC basically. I know it's early. We've only got a limited sample size here, but they seem to be a team that struggles to get up for teams that are maybe a little underwhelming. And I still don't think they're that well coached when it comes down to it. So they have the talent to hang with anybody, and they have the talent to probably coast into Cal and win. But I happen to agree with you. I don't think, what'd you say, 17 or thereabouts?
Yeah,
Cal,
17. I love
Cal
that.
Keep it closer.
Yeah. Next one, Alabama travels to Vanderbilt. National game on CBS. Alabama's favored by 18.5. I think Vandy keeps it close. Vandy's got, the best defense in the nation right now. Statistic. I think I just popped up on my ESPN news feed. So feeling pretty good. I think Vandy's going to keep it close. Definitely, not losing by 18 close.
No, I see a low-scoring affair here, probably like a 20-10 final score.
Something like that, where like Bama gets a big turnover in the last two quarters.
Yeah, and like Jalen Hurts plays an awful game, but then he runs for a touchdown to seal it up at the end or something like that.
Straight kind of the Tebow-style man that he is.
Yeah, right. Very similar in a lot of ways, but one is liked and praised more than the other. And again, I'm sure Dan would probably know why. But But we'll move along. I like your prediction there. It's a 10-point spread sounds about
this good. This is probably the one I don't like as much, but I'm feeling pretty confident in it because they look better, pretty good this year. Purdue hosts the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan's favored by 10. I think Purdue loses by a touchdown.
Yeah, man, I'm not a big fan. As talented as Michigan is, as long as Spade is the QB there, I think anybody can be in a game with them if they have a decent
Isn't level. That weird, though, Wes? The two top teams in the Big Ten, Michigan and Ohio State, both cannot recruit a quarterback, apparently.
Yeah, it's very strange. Why? It never makes sense to me. I don't care.
Both guys are kind of quarterbacks got, you know. Urban always had decent quarterbacks in Florida. And then Michigan is fucking horrible, you know?
It's like it's not even an identity thing. It might be one thing if you had a team that you would expect to just pound the rock all the time. But that's not how I think of either Michigan or Ohio State at this point in history. So that being said, I don't know what to say about Purdue because I haven't really seen them play. So I'll take Michigan 27-13. I don't know if that covers the spread at all, but that's –
I believe that was that 10 point. I don't know. I can't add. Let's jump now to kind of our main events, and both are kind of in the SEC. First big one to me, Mississippi State travels to Georgia. Georgia's favored by 5. Give me Mississippi State here. They just beat the shit out of LSU. They're not favored at all in this game. Georgia's not that good. Mississippi State's going to open a can of whoop-ass in Georgia.
I can't disagree.
Take it again.
I mean, can we have a moment of silence for LSU here briefly?
Yeah. Well, it's not done yet. I mean, LSU, I always said, could have one loss, but you got to beat Bama, you got to beat Auburn, which Auburn's looking a lot easier now. So, it's not over if you're an LSU. You just played one bad game. That's all it has to be. You know, you don't have to let that loss define your year.
Once again, I want to compliment you because that is looking through optimistic glasses right there. And that's as reasonable as anything else. So just chalk it up.
Well, no, I think people forget this, like, sometimes, especially in college football. Just sometimes it's a bad game, man. These guys aren't pros. They're 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. Sometimes they're going to play shitty. And, like, yeah, that's usually on the coach, but you can fix that, you know? And I looked at that Mississippi State loss, and it was just them making dumb mistakes. It was guys getting kicked out for bad hits. It's all things that are correctable.
Well, not only that, it's early in the year as well, so things can change, but still that was one hell of an ass-whipping to see.
It was. Well, it proved that Mississippi State right now is probably the second-best team in the SEC until LSU can prove again otherwise. That's why I've got them winning. I've got them winning big at Georgia. I think Fitzgerald's going to look like he's going to look like a number one pick
in this I'll take it. Hey, based on what they did last week, I like Mississippi State to put up 40 points on Georgia. And probably coast their way to a victory. Georgia maybe make it a little closer at the end with a garbage touchdown, but they're in a tough position right now with a QB that they're still trying to break in, and I'm not sold on them quite yet. So I'll go with Mississippi State as well.
Next big one, you've got Florida going to Kentucky. This is what a lot of people like this week. I've watched this one kind of slowly trickle down in terms of spread. Kentucky favored by 2, hosting Florida. I love that pick. I think Kentucky wins this game. Kentucky's on a roll right now. Florida's awful.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know how Florida's even – well, I know why Florida's ranked, I guess, and not that it really matters, but I'm not sold on Florida, especially affirmative after action. They put me to sleep. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and, you know, the people of Florida have suffered a lot lately, but that doesn't mean I'm going to pick for them automatically.
No, we can pick FSU or Miami here. We don't have to pick Florida.
Did
Gainesville even really suffer? I think they get like a bad thunderstorm.
They just sort of suffer in general, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but
couldn't tell the difference after the hurricane. No one.
Yeah, you really don't know a natural disaster would have hit. But I'll go
this
Kentucky
game is,
as well.
Like I said, this game is sold out in advance at Kroger Field in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky. This crowd's going to be hyped for this game. I like Kentucky to win. I'm slowly kind of liking Kentucky maybe to win the SEC East.
Wow, that would be something.
It could be Kentucky, Mississippi State in SEC title game. Talk about ratings.
That's what I always I pencil that in as a fantasy matchup every time I think them through. But this is going to be one
we always thought we could get in video games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to take matters into your own hands to create a game like that. But I think you're right about this game in the sense that it's going to be one of those games that's going to be a ton of fun to watch, and a lot of people aren't going to see it because I think it's on the SEC network. So
yeah, I'll see it. That's all it matters.
You'll see. Hey, I've got the network. Yeah, we're covered. But the nation. Who,
but the Georgia, I guess Georgia would have the ESPN game.
At that time, probably, yeah. Probably Mississippi State at Georgia.
I'm assuming this will be a Pac-12 game, the one I'm talking about next. That's your Washington Huskies traveling to Colorado. They're favored by 11, but we talked before. We didn't necessarily hate Colorado as a team. Do you think your boys can kind of show some fortitude and win a big game here?
I think they can win. I think they will
by 11, excuse me.
Yeah, that might be a little too much, just based on what I've seen so far. Washington's done a good job of, you wouldn't know it, but they've really kept the playbook kind of in check, haven't showed a lot lately. If there's one concern right now for the Huskies, it's that the running game hasn't really clicked in any of these games. But, again, I don't
especially
know.
When you've been playing weaker teams, but that could be, once again, you're not showing stuff.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, and I just think these games have been over. The past two games have been over with about halfway into the first quarter.
Yeah.
So
you think, like, maybe could it be an issue where the Huskies go into a lull, maybe start kind of slower, get hit in the mouth early, and maybe have to do a second half comeback?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them get down early by a touchdown or something along those lines. I mean, Colorado's an interesting place to play. That's an 8 o'clock start local time there in Colorado. So.
Yeah, it's a 10 o'clock start on the East Coast.
Yeah, so I feel bad for pretty much anyone trying to view this game, but fortunately, it's probably limited to the
I love these 10 o'clock games, Wes, because I'm just all by myself on a Saturday night. I need somebody.
Yeah, but you're a free spirit as well, though. You know, you kind of you do what feels right, as opposed to most people in the nation. They need to be fed these sorts of games earlier in the day.
I'm also a guy who loves sports at weird times. Like, I think we've talked about it with the Olympics in the past, where it's you put a weird sport on at 2 in the morning, I'm watching it. You got rowing on at 3? Yeah. Strap me the fuck in, buddy. Let's go.
sports in the middle of the night take on a different dynamic altogether, even if you're not there. It just feels different. Isn't that like the SEC motto? Oh, no, it means more.
Yeah. It does mean more. And we're going to get it. We're going to get it this winter when the Olympics go to South Korea. I hope nothing goes wrong there. I can't touch the problem with the neighbor.
Well, yeah, what possibly could go wrong in that situation? But, no, I like Washington, but give me Washington by 8 and continue with your South Korean discussion.
That was kind of it. I am hyped, though, for the Winter Olympics this year, because unlike with the Summer Olympics, I think we might get a real disaster this time. let's stay in the Pac-12. Let's move on to maybe my most surprising team of the year. That's been Oregon. They're traveling to Arizona State. They're favored by 15. I like them to blow out Arizona State here. I like Oregon to kind of continue their ways. And I'm really, really interested about that big Oregon-Washington showdown we're going to get in a couple of weeks here.
I've got a ticket to that one. I'll be there live for that goddamn game. It should be very good. And I too am looking forward to that matchup. It's much better when teams are decent, have momentum and all that.
Well, I wonder if Oregon saw like Stanford kind of get blown out and they go, huh, maybe we can be really good here.
Yeah.
I think that Stanford loss may have like woken up more teams in that North division there. Like you look at Washington State even.
Yep.
You know, I'm looking at four teams that could realistically win the conference.
The door's open now for someone to step in, and I think Oregon, the Nebraska win is like, who can't? Nebraska looks so bad now at this point in time.
Nebraska's all, I think that's fair to say. Nebraska, I don't know if I've seen a program fall off worse than Nebraska, except maybe like, and they were better than Tennessee, so that's not even fair. It's a disastrous move to the Big. That was clearly the worst move, Paul. I mean, maybe they're making more money, but probably a little bit more successful in the Big 12 right now.
Probably, but from just a pure football standpoint, it has not gone well. And the Mike Riley regime might be coming to an end here pretty soon. Yeah. And speaking of coming to an end, I like Oregon over ASU as well. And Todd Graham, that seat's as warm as anybody in the nation right now. Because it's Tempe, Arizona, for one. Literally a warm seat, but two.
Folks.
It's not looking very good right now.
Yeah. And let's conclude.
Material.
Yes. Let's conclude with our 10:30 game, our last major game of Saturday. UCLA travels to Stanford. Stanford's favored by 7.5. Give me UCLA here. I don't like the Stanford team at all. I didn't really at the beginning of the year. And I think Rosen's, that that's a weird team with UCLA. They're going to play bad or lose to Memphis 1 week, then maybe come back and beat a Stanford in Stanford the next week. Circle. I'm going to lock that one up, actually. I think I like UCLA catching 7.5.
That's your big lock. I think that UCLA is definitely what you said, kind of a – the ceiling is high at times. The floor is low at times, and it's just whichever team decides to show up.
They're a Jim Mora team. That's when you think of a Jim Mora, even his dad, really.
Yeah, yeah.
A team that can play really well at times and look like the worst team in the nation at others. I think they beat Stanford. I think Rosen needs to kind of prove something. He's playing elite defense. Go and earn that number one pick. I think he's going to do it this week.
I am going to agree with you, and I will say that I think Stanford will rebound, but what I think is it's going to take is a quarterback change, which I don't think we're too far away from, because I know they've got talented guys behind Keller Christ, who neither of us were a fan of going into the year. So,
If the name's that white and you're a quarterback, I just don't trust you. You know, if it's Christian Ponder, you're just not going to be good. They're just bad, folks. They're bad.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. And so I'll take UCLA to win a tight one.
Cade McNown.
Mike Glennon.
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, it doesn't get much wider.
Elvis Grubach.
Yeah, Elvis. A very white name in a lot of ways.
But Flynn. Lots. Yeah.
We could be here all day if we go through all of them.
Not even white sounding quarterbacks. Weird how that works.
Yeah.
But I think that's it for this week, Wes, before we get out of here. Anything else you want to kind of bring up before we kind of float out of here?
Not really. It's my birthday on Friday. Oh. So
big
4-0.
Yeah.
I'm breaking my way into the 40s and I would just say in lieu of gifts, send cash. And that's about it. I really respect the listener, and I would appreciate if they respected what I do back and paid me, because I'm not getting paid for this, despite what you may have heard.
You might even be paying, to be on here.
Yeah, that's true. $2.99 for this recording software.
That's why I brought you back this week. It's like, well, you already paid for the app. That's how we scam most of our guests into coming back now.
I understand you. So what's going on? Anything else that you have to say from a personal level or otherwise?
No. If I leave you with anything, I got nothing. You know, just how about this? Fuck you of the week, Hillary Clinton, and everyone in Congress for the shitty health bill. How about that?
I like that, and I would also encourage our prayer or warrior listeners to pray for Dan, because
prayer warriors.
Yeah. Put your powers together and
head down to the IHOP, the International House of Prayer.
Yeah.
Link arms and pray.
Yep.
Except with a Catholic or an Irish person. Never pray with an Irishman.
And pray for Dan. And you'll probably see him at the IHOP. So that's a good that's
but
good
not
news.
But not the International Hub, the other one, the one next door.
Exactly. After you're done praying, go over and get some pancakes and say hi to Dan for us. And he'll be back next week.
Tell
I have
no doubt
about
it. Tell Power Hour sent you and ask for your discount.
Beautiful.
See what happens then. All right. So I'm not really used to this. So play that music, Jason. Let's get out of here.